Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We've had a lot of talk around Travis Hunter. We've had news around the one and the only, the quarterback that you're waiting on to save the day, Kirk Cousins. Maybe. Well, at least the Guardians play tonight, right? You get that. Back at it at 9:40. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan on overtime until 11. Michael Bohm running the board as well. Neil Ant in the 2020s and doing work behind the glass. Today has been an interesting day. The amount of Travis Hunter talk that's been going on back and forth, and the positive things said, it's properly described as silly season. It's every single week. It's like a new highlight of a player that goes through, and it's like, well, Abdul Carter could just be Myles Garrett 2.0 on the other side. And Travis Hunter, you know what, could just turn out to maybe be, I don't know, the best wide receiver of all time, practically, with how people are throwing out the how great his actual ball skill is as a wide receiver. It's like, oh, okay, that's not what we talked about for a long time there. It's like, he might be a top 2-3 receiver in the draft, maybe like a second round pick if he was strictly a wide receiver. And now all of a sudden, he's the best wide receiver in the class. We're like, he might be the best corner in the draft. It's probably between him and Will Johnson. And now he's bona fide, guaranteed, best corner in the draft, best corner, best wide receiver. And we've completely and entirely inflated how good we think that he actually is. Though that is the full route that now clearly we have gone down. And it's a little confusing for me, but that's not even my main issue with the talk around Travis Hunter. Because I know that when we sit here and talk about the different players that, yeah, you're going to have guys who are inflated and going up, and there's going to be so many good things said about them, and you're going to have guys torn down at different times and boosted up at other times. We've had as much as Shador compared to Joe Burrow, as much as Shador shouldn't even be a second-round pick. You talk about him, right? So we're everywhere with it. But I've recently come on the idea, and I'm still a pro Shador, but I could understand the idea of drafting a non-quarterback here, rolling with Kirk Cousins, and I've been able to be okay with, all right, but still get a guy, right? Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe. Hey, use one of those to make sure that you still have a quarterback. I can be sold on that being a solution. Not my preferred one, but a solution. And I've sat pretty comfortably in that spot, but I think that if that was the case, at two, I'd be down the road of okay drafting Abdul Carter. When you go down the road of drafting Travis Hunter, it begins to spin maybe my preference, my idea that it could actually work, and whether or not it's actually a good idea for the Browns. And I think Travis Hunter is a really good player. I have previously said, from what I've seen on him, I probably would have said around a second round wide receiver closer there. Probably like the third, fourth wide receiver in the draft. And then he could be a top one, probably the best corner, if not the second best corner behind Will Johnson. Like, yeah, and if he can play both ways, he'd be a top probably 3-5 prospect in this draft, hands down, very easily. It could be a top two alongside Abdul Carter. I wouldn't make the arguments if you think he could play both ways effectively. But I've also had the idea and the thought that if you're taking Travis Hunter, he needs to be a building block, a true franchise cornerstone piece that you build around. And you understand that within the first couple of years that you have Travis Hunter, things might be shaky on one end of the field or the other, right? It might be an issue somewhere along the way. It's not just going to be sunshines and rainbows from top to bottom with him. Like, he might have to settle in. If he's going to be a corner or a wide receiver, let's say he goes down the route, which he's entered the draft for whatever reason as a corner, it might take him some time to either perform late in games as a corner, because he's going to be exhausted playing that in intense level there, back and forth on both ends of the ball in the NFL and keeping up. Or you might just see him not as active in the wide receiver role. And I don't mean physically active. I mean involved in the offensive game planning and having him be the star. I think there is a little bit of sort of just figuring out what you're going to do. And that's great for a lot of teams. It really is. There are a lot of teams that can go down that road and make it work. The Tennessee Titans right now, I think, and I know they're not. They're obviously drafting Cam Ward. But for instance, a team, yeah, you could go down that road and get it done. You wanted to draft Travis Hunter, you 100% could. I think even a team like the Raiders, who are years away from competing and continuously can't find a way to make it happen. Yes. I look at teams that are devoid of large number of talent. Okay, even the Giants. Like, you got Malik Nabers, you're probably still a little bit of a way of competing. If you wanted to draft Travis Hunter, you could do it. But teams that have fallen into, okay, this is a bad year, but we have really good talent on the roster, which is where I would put the Browns, with a guy like Myles Garrett, with success like you've had within the last 2 years, you are probably a year or two away from being back to being a competitive team. Right? And getting to a spot where I look at you and say, yeah, this team is going to at least be going after a playoff spot after this upcoming season. And some of those teams have found at least their transitional periodic piece at quarterback. It becomes an issue for me when you're the Browns and you're saying, okay, I need to find a solve at quarterback. I need to have an answer here. And I need to develop a guy in the draft and find our cornerstone piece. But by the way, while we're doing that and trying to develop a quarterback to be a star, I'm also going to be managing the Shohei Ohtani of football and trying to find the proper way to utilize him both offensively and defensively, whether or not it should be a corner or a wide receiver, and getting that fitting into the plan while developing a quarterback alongside of him, I think that you enter a very dangerous territory. A territory of Travis Hunter becoming upset of not being involved in the game plan or not getting the ball enough. Travis Hunter becoming upset that he's not getting to play two ways the way that he wants. Or your quarterback and everybody else getting upset. They're like, hey, you're devoting so much time to making this thing work, and you don't even have the spot of who's throwing him the ball figured out. Right, when you build from the inside out, as people like to put it, that's always establish your trenches first, get the offensive line figured out, get the defensive line figured out. And offensively, when you build out, the idea there is it's offensive line, make sure you get the quarterback, and then get the weapons around him. It's going to be a lot easier to get the weapons around him once you have the quarterback figured out. Travis Hunter is sort of a weapons piece. So if you're a team building through that strategy, yeah, like it would be one of the last things I want there. Or that has to be the guy you build around. That has to be, in a bad example because they had Joe Burrow, but like it has to be a Ja'Marr Chase type player. It has to be a Justin Jefferson type player where it's like, okay, my offense is going to build around this guy. Doesn't matter who's going to throw him the football. You just go and take him. For the Browns, that answer could very well, even with the buzz picking up on Kirk Cousins, turn into, what, Carson Wentz this year? Kenny Pickett? That's not the combination you want to go with. Developing Travis Hunter, as you already have said, you view him more as a wide receiver than you do a cornerback if you're Andrew Berry in the Browns. It feels like that's a lot of on the plate of Cleveland, trying to go through and actually balance out. I'm the Browns trying to figure out the quarterback position, keep Myles Garrett happy, and make sure this offense flows properly. Oh, and by the way, we're going to reconstruct the entirety of our offense and have an entire set of plays inside of our playbook specifically designed to one player and to make that work. And again, him to be almost a cornerstone piece in how our offense operates. You are giving that guy the ball to be a difference maker. Like, if you go and you look at Minnesota's playbook right now, it's not Kevin O'Connell drawing up a perfect playbook and going, now here's where Justin Jefferson's going to fit in. It's Kevin O'Connell sitting back and going, we have Justin Jefferson. Let's design plays to get Justin Jefferson the ball. Right? What can we draw up? What can we scheme to get him the ball? And it's not the way, as much as I'd love, I think, for Kevin Stefanski's offense to operate that way, I don't think that's the way that it operates. It operates as we're going to pound the rock, we'll throw to the guys that are open, make the easy reads, but we're not forcing the ball to certain players. As a quarterback, you can, of course, have some difference there. But again, you have to get that position figured out. You have to figure out who your savior quarterback is going to be, again, while also trying to navigate something that's essentially never been done in football, which is Travis Hunter wanting to play both ways a significant period of time on both sides of it. And I just don't know if that's possible. To me, you're getting into far too much on your plate as a Browns team who probably doesn't need to have that much happening all at once. Right? It is a step-by-step. You could say that the Browns have the offensive line fairly figured out. I think that's a fair statement, even though that they're not elite. They're good enough. You could throw a quarterback back there. They're not going to be fighting for their lives game in and game out. Especially, you've addressed a little bit of the depth issue this year. You continue to do that. You try to keep them healthy. Things could go well. I think that you could put a quarterback back there right now. It's going to be a big task. It's going to be a problem to solve in and of itself that's going to take a lot of time and a lot of dedication from Kevin Stefanski and this coaching staff. If Kevin's my play caller and the guy who's truly going to fit in and have that task of, okay, you need to take care of the quarterback. You got to make sure that he's set to run what you like to run and he's ready to get it done. And then Tommy Rees handles a little bit of it. More of an assistant OC is with Heaven running probably his playbook, him calling the plays. If you bring in a guy like Travis Hunter, guys, Kevin Stefanski needs to be heavily involved in that process too. Deeply involved in the development of Travis Hunter. And when you take the other responsibilities of a head coach and say you're not just tasked with developing those guys, and making your offense work and bouncing back from a 3-14 season while your job may be on the line. But, oh, by the way, you're going to have to make everything else work too. Right? You're going to have to get everybody else pretty much rebut back in on the system that you've been running or wanting to be running, but you weren't last year. Now we have to get everybody back under the umbrella, erase everything that happened last year in terms of a mindset standpoint from this team, because it felt like a lot of guys weren't bought in. And you come around full circle. To me, Travis Hunter, too much of a gamble, and you're putting too much on the plate of Kevin Stefanski. And I want to know what you think. 216-474-0092. Is Travis Hunter too much of a gamble for the Browns at 2? You can also get to be on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot to get to tonight. We'll talk to our Browns beat reporter, Dale Reiter, coming up at 8 o'clock as well. Chris Perkins of the Sun Sentinel covering the Miami Dolphins going to join us at 8:40 to figure out what the Dolphins might be doing at 12 for Draft Daily. And as always, the station buzz coming your way at 7:40. Get a grip at 9. We'll bring in Anthony in the 10 o'clock hour for Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Is Travis Hunter too much of a gamble for the Browns at 2? We'll get to your calls and more coming up here in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys until 11 on Overtime on the Fan.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Feels like, and you can say, listen, it's the job of an NFL team to be able to handle the intricacies that go into an NFL season, and they always have the problem of having to deal with 53 players plus some on the practice squad, developing them, keeping them happy, trying to make the team work, and messing with everything in between. Yeah, guys, I mean, realistically, what, throw out a player? Like, you think Jamari Thrash is getting as much attention in that room right now as Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman? I mean, name your players. Myles Garrett? No, of course not. You only have so much time in a day. Travis Hunter being the number two pick in the draft, a guy who's playing two positions and doing everything under the sun in order to try to make it work. And on both sides of the ball, yeah, you're going to have Jim Schwartz there to help you on the defensive side of things, but you're going to have to deal with a guy who is only with the offense then half the time, three quarters of the time, whatever you want to designate it. Again, I'm assuming more than 50%, given the fact that the Browns say they view him as more of a wide receiver than they do a corner. But you're still not going to have a full-time guy, full focus on learning the playbook and getting everything done. He's going to have to spend time with the defense as well. That's going to take a lot of the energy of this team. Or any team. It's not even necessarily the Browns. Any team that drafts Travis Hunter has to go into the understanding that player gets a lot of attention, and he gets it from multiple different coaches in high position roles. Defensive coordinators, positional coaches, head coach, everything. And on top of that, you're going to be doing the exact same thing, whether it's this year or next year, with a quarterback. And I imagine it in some way, it'd probably be this year with the quarterback. Hey, we'll talk about that, sort of the prospects of that later as it relates to Kirk Cousins and what that means. But again, we'll talk that later. But from the Travis Hunter spot, I go with the assumption that you're drafting a quarterback somewhere in this draft. Even if you take Hunter at two, I imagine somewhere within the next couple of rounds, you're finding a guy there that you're going to at least try and give a shot to develop. And when you're dedicating so much time to making Hunter work in the lineup, guys, I just don't know that that reflects directly into wins. Not knowing who's exactly throwing him the ball and trying. Yes, you get it under your feet. You might get him some designed plays. You might be able to get him to a semi-comfortable spot by the end of the year. It's not going to just translate just because he's a playmaker directly into this team flipping on its head, getting 7-8 wins. Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski keep their jobs, and it's all kumbaya. It could very well go down the drain a whole lot quicker than that. And I want to hear your thoughts on it. Again, 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. Let's talk to Todd, is in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
It's too much of a gamble, Jay. He's going to be a good citizen off the field. That means a lot. He's exceptional at both positions, but the best corner in the draft is Johnson from the University of Michigan.
And I would probably agree.
And I would say that Hunter may not be the second best corner in the draft. I think there's like two other guys I could make a case for better than Hunter. And he's only about the fourth best receiver in the draft. A guy like, I think his last name was Smith, Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama, played for the Eagles this year, wide receiver.
Yeah, Devontae Smith.
Yeah, Devontae Smith. Now, that's a different type of receiver right there, okay? And for that matter, Xavier Worthy, the guy that was a rookie with the Chiefs this year, had a real nice looking mother. That dude.
You just slipped that in there? You just tried to slip that past like nobody was going to notice?
Oh, dude, his mother is holding straight up. They feature her a lot. She holds. But anyway, so past that, you know, I'm saying that, you know, he's good and he's exceptional. But with all that they need, it's just too much of a risk at two. If you're going to have to stay at two, if you're going to have to stay there, you got much greater needs to deal with other than Travis Hunter. It's going to be hard to pass him up. It's too much of a gamble, though. As are a bunch of other folks that are too much of gambles that are exceptional as well. They don't have room to mess up this year, man. That $600 million, that $600 million bond is coming out pretty soon. Folks going to want to get more than just their money back, you know?
And I'm included
because I'm going to invest.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot, Todd. I appreciate the call, as always. Guys, it does feel like a bit much. Like, again, I don't know where we got to that now Travis Hunter is being sort of valued as the top wide receiver, because that's just not how we talked about him. That's not how anybody talked about him. I'm not saying he's a bad wide receiver by any means. He might be the first-round talent. I probably would say a second-round talent. But it's just, okay, he's all right. He's fine. It's just not anything that the Browns can really dig themselves into. I just don't think that's the right route to go down with everything you have. Like, to me, when I call him a cornerstone piece and something that teams build around, I truthfully mean that if he goes to a team where they feel like they have a lot of work left to do, which is why throughout the Titans, obviously not as a really realistic possibility here, but just as a team that I view in that way, I think he's going to flourish within 2 to 3 years. I truly think he could be an absolute difference maker in the NFL, but you're a couple years away from probably finding that. I don't think that's the kind of role where a guy just plugs in and everything goes incredibly from day one, and you're like, wow, he's such an incredible athlete. Look at everything that he does. In baseball, in the comparison that we get to Ohtani, which is borderline becoming exhausting at this point, but it's a good example. But if you look into baseball and you say, well, it works for Ohtani, he stepped in and was one of the best players in the MLB day one, it's a much different game. Like, I could explain to you the vast reasons that we've already discussed throughout the weeks and months prior of how difficult it is to play two ways in a football field. But like, your individual impact in becoming a star in the game of baseball is very individualized. Right? What does he do? He sometimes, and not at this point in his career, but he was starting out with the Angels, playing a little bit of outfield, DHing. He clearly made an elite impact at the plate. And then he was also a very good pitcher. There wasn't anything that had to go into making him a great player. One, he was coming over from overseas, so he's already a partially developed prospect that was not a 21-year-old kid. I don't know how old Travis said, 21, 22. He's not a 21 or 22-year-old kid, right? He had more experience under his belt playing overseas, and you step in, you swing the bat, nobody changes that. You don't have to fit in directly with your teammates to be able to swing the bat well. You don't have to fit in with anybody other than your catcher, and sometimes not even directly that, to be able to huck a ball at 99, 100 miles an hour and also throw a good breaking ball. Like, yes, spending more time with your team, developing with your teammates, and understanding how to utilize Ohtani has only made the Angels better in that time, and now, of course, the Dodgers. And whatever team ends up with him after this, if he somehow doesn't finish out or end his MLB career on the contract that he's on. But it's the same thing. Like, yeah, individually, Ohtani can make a difference. Travis Hunter, you have to make a much, much different type of style of game in the NFL. You have to fit into the system. You have to work perfectly with the offensive line, with your quarterback, with the entire offense, and then the defense. And that's a lot of work. You know how many guys flutter out just trying to get it done on one side and trying to make that happen, let alone trying to get it done on both ends of the ball? It's a much bigger ask than I think people put out there and don't realize how much time and how much dedication that it takes for a team to get that right. And again, 216-474-0092, discussing whether or not Travis Hunter is too much of a gamble at two. Let's go back out of the phones. Chris is in Cleveland. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. What do you got?
So, basically, I like Travis Hunter. I think he's going to be a good player on both sides of the ball. But I think if you compare him to Abdul Carter, you have to go with Abdul Carter every time. I would rather have a great guy that can be Myles Garrett 2.0 than a Malik Nabers, Greg Newsome type. Even if he's good on both sides of the ball, I don't think he'll have a problem transitioning to the in the locker room on the meeting side or anything like that.
Mm-mm.
But I don't think his upside is as good as some of as Abdul Carter. I think you'll waste a pick at that point.
Yeah, and Chris, I appreciate the call. I don't know that you're necessarily – it's a stretch for me to say wasting a pick because I do think that his ceiling – it's really – I don't even know that you could truthfully put a ceiling on the individual player that Travis Hunter would be if he successfully learned how to play two ways in the NFL. If he transitioned and was able to do it, there is no ceiling. He could very well be the best player in the NFL if he's doing both of those things at a high level. But it's nearly impossible to be doing both of those things at an elite level. You could be pretty good at one and really good at the other. I just don't think that you get to a point, even at the peak of his career, where you look at Travis Hunter and go, he's a top three cornerback in the NFL and a top five wide receiver, top three wide receiver, right? He's among the very best in both of the aspects that he does. Again, the top wide receivers are dedicating 100% of their time, are better, I mean, individual athletes than Travis Hunter is, right? Like, they're just built in a much better form and shape to be able to do so. Like, look at an athletic freak like DK Metcalf dedicating 100% of his time to becoming a wide receiver, or Julio Jones or Calvin Johnson. You can pick it, you can go through the history books and pick it. They dedicated 100% of their time to being the best wide receiver possible. And Travis Hunter is going to be up there with the guys doing it right now, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and he's going to get to that level while also then maintaining and being a very good corner. I just don't think so. That's where it becomes too much of a gamble. For me, the Browns are not in need of a franchise-altering player outside of, if you want to take the stab and actually get it right, the quarterback position. The most impactful position in sports. Every team in the NFL needs a franchise-changing player at quarterback unless they already have one. Everybody is in desperate need of that. You look at a team right now, I don't know, pick out a good team. The Dallas Cowboys, not a great team, but a good team, in desperate need of a franchise-changing quarterback. Dak is probably not good enough to get it done. Right? And that's still a really good NFL quarterback, but you'd still need it. If there was a quarterback on the board and Dallas was drafting at the number one spot, like last year, and it was Caleb Williams, you probably still take him. You figure out what to do with draft Dak Prescott later. It's just what you do. But I don't think that they need a franchise-changing player outside of that quarterback position necessarily. I don't think you need to go through and take on the big risk and the real struggle that comes with trying to develop that guy. There's a lot of questions that get left unanswered there and a lot of wins that you're immediately taking off the board. And if you had hit the reset button, if you said, all right, we're not going to go out and try to compete this year, and we know that, you know, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, your jobs are safe for the next 3 years. We'll give you the time to rebuild and really get this thing back on track and let you see it through. Then, yeah, I'd be all in. Draft Travis Hunter. I do. I think he's a really good prospect. But at the end of the day, that's just not what it is. They are a team that is looking to compete, and Travis Hunter is not a player that you add to a team that is dire to compete and also at the same time get out of the basement. If you already have it figured out, if he fell the 32 to the Eagles, that'd be great for him. Just another wrinkle. But when it's everything that your team has to do, when it's everything you have to rely on, I'd kind of like you to be doing that from the outset. Have that figured out from the very beginning. That's the route that you have to go down. The Browns are not in that spot. They need key pieces, guys who can be some of the best players on their team, but fill in, slot into a role, not completely alter everything the team wants to do on one side of the ball. They just don't need it. That's not the problem at hand right now. They have too much on their plate in order to go through that, and I just can't comfortably go through and take a guy like Travis Hunter knowing that I just don't think it pushes you over the line there for 3-4 extra wins in the way that a healthy and productive Abdul Carter could, a healthy and productive Shedeur Sanders could. I do think there's a lag. There's a make it work type of time with Travis Hunter the Browns just don't have. And if you want to get your thoughts in again, 216-474-0092. Our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, are going to be joining us in about 25 minutes at 8 o'clock. But coming your way in about 5 minutes, you'll hear for the most pressing things from our guests across the day, across the station, with the station buzz. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm the fan. Because I just want to see what the reaction is. I think it'll be kind of fun. That's coming your way again in like 17 minutes. But we do have to hear from all of our station's guests today the most pressing things that they brought to the table. And we do it with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off and listen to a clip from this morning. Brian Hoyer, obviously former Browns quarterback, former NFL quarterback, on with Ken and Anthony today. And talked very highly of Travis Hunter and even threw out what is a wild, wild prediction of what his ceiling could be.
I think he's the best player in the draft. I think between him and Abdul Carter, those are like the, to me, and actually I would throw the tight end from Penn State in there who are like, I think will be potential Pro Bowl players year one. I've done a lot of research on Travis Hunter because obviously he's a very intriguing prospect. And the more I watch him as a receiver, the more I see a true number one receiver. I think he has the skill set of a Devonta Smith, a Jamison Williams, and I think his ceiling would be a Justin Jefferson type receiver. I really believe that. And I think that makes it that much more incredible that he's able to play receiver full-time and then in college play DB the full-time. I mean, this guy was playing like 150 snaps a game and never really fell off. I mean, to me, this is a generational prospect.
And I truthfully do believe and agree with Brian Hoyer there that he is sort of a generational prospect. If you can go and play two ways in the NFL in the way that I think a lot of people think that he can, I mean, you're game-changing at that point. You're talking about ridiculous amounts of money. Teams would be dying for a player that could do it on both ends. I just don't know that it's really that possible. Not at full speed, at full capability, on both ends of a football field. I just don't know that you can get it done. And comparing him to Justin Jefferson as a ceiling, I mean, that might be blasphemy. That might be like the highest level of blasphemy. You're talking about the top level of wide receiver and just throwing it out there. Like, yeah, he could be there. Okay. And Xavier Restrepo could also turn out to be Ja'Marr Chase. He won't. No chance. But hey, he could. Like, I just, again, generational prospect, yes. For the things that he could do on both sides of the ball, undoubtedly, he has that opportunity. But I think ultimately you sort of throw in the idea whether or not he could really get it done and how good he'd be on both ends. Yeah, it's not going to be Justin Jefferson at wide receiver. Not if he's spending time playing quarter or corner. Even if you gave him the wide receiver nod, again, I think he's like the fourth best wide receiver, third best wide receiver probably in this class. So it's just, again, going to be kind of a no from me. I don't really believe it to potentially be true at all. So it's going to be a no. But also on with Ken and Anthony was Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports, and he talked about more of a general idea of what the Browns should be doing and who they should be drafting.
You have to trust whatever your personnel department decided throughout the scouting process. And if your board says, take Travis Hunter, take Travis Hunter. And if you have to roll with Kirk Cousins for a year and he looks like he did last year, then it is what it is. But you don't want to compound the problem by taking a player that you didn't believe in. And that's not to say Shador can't be the number two overall pick. But if in this scenario the Browns weren't crazy about him, then I would seriously consider about trading for him and for Kirk and then getting a fantastic player that, for example, could help Myles Garrett. I just think we see too much teams overreacting, getting nervous, trying to fix a hole that ends up making things worse in the long run.
You got to take a guy that you love. I can, again, sort of agree with the idea. Abdul Carter, if you really don't think the injury is going to be a problem with Andrew Berry, very vehemently expressed during the meetings when he talked to the media. He told you, I don't think that the injuries that Abdul has right now are really going to be a problem. He could definitely be a game wrecker. And if you believe in that, again, I want quarterback. I will, though, at the end of the day, if the Browns go through and draft one of these top guys, and it is Abdul Carter or it is a quarterback, probably less so if it's Travis Hunter, I'll have my gripes. It's going to be like, okay, you clearly have a plan. I'm not necessarily going to agree with it out of the gate, but I'm going to see how it unfolds. I want to see the way that it goes down, and I think Abdul Carter can be a good pick. I think Shador Sanders can be a good pick. There's just things that you have to get right. And right now, I think that you just need to focus on, again, making things work, finding the easy fix to the defense, and the easy thing that's going to make it sort of all go, whether that's Abdul Carter or finding the fix, if you think it's there for the offense, in a guy like Shador, and actually getting a quarterback in the room who, I don't know, can get anything productive there. And if it's Kirk, it's Kirk. I can live with that. And speaking of, Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, on with Baskin and Phelps today, talked about the Browns having to sit back and wait as well as basically when Kirk Cousins makes his move.
I think they'll be patient and that they can afford to wait until after the draft if it works out that way, because as far as I can tell, Kirk Cousins wants to wait until after the draft before he decides what to do. So if you have him in your sights, you might have to wait until after the draft to see if he'd be willing to come here. And if you draft Shador Sanders, then the chances of him wanting to come here are probably going to be pretty slim, because he doesn't want to go from one backup job to another. He wants an opportunity to start, and if you take Shador, there's a pretty good chance he's going to start this season.
I can get behind waiting for Kirk Cousins if that's what you think your best move is, under one condition. For me, it sort of all at this point relies on what on earth is Aaron Rodgers going to do. Because if we're sitting here right now trending towards Aaron Rodgers will go to the Steelers, because we get reports today that I think R. Rooney said he thinks it's getting close. He feels like Rodgers is now closer to signing with the Steelers than retiring. But it has to be Rodgers to the Steelers before the draft. If not, I really can't bank on Kirk just being here. I can't bank on Kirk signing a contract with the Browns or getting the trade to go through at the Browns, waiving his no trade clause, and for sure being a guaranteed thing. I think you're leaving way too much on the table. I think you're probably putting way too much of a reliance on that getting done if the Steelers don't have their quarterback figured out. Because then you get into a war. Then it's a downright drag them out and knock them out type of battle where the Steelers are also going to target Kirk Cousins because that's the next best quarterback outwardly available to them. And if Rodgers is still mulling it, I got to get a quarterback. I don't know that has to be a top quarterback, but I have to get a quarterback, no doubt. And you can't sit there and just wait for things to happen and hope that they come along. All right, let's talk a little bit of Cavs, like John Fanta did when he was on with Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive, giving a very solid defense of the way that they've been playing recently.
Somebody said to me last week, oh, you know, they've taken a couple losses lately. They're 60-15. They've played 75 games. Okay, so they lost a couple of games. Do you know how hard it is to be this damn good for this long in a season? Be ready for the postseason. Clinch this one seed. Make a statement and clinch that one seed. Win your first round series. Take advantage of the rest. Sweep your first round series and take advantage of the rest. And then come into the second round series, whether that's against the Pacers, Pistons, or Bucks, depending on how things shake out, so be it. You know, clear your plans, Cleveland, for the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, this is one that makes me smile, because if you listen to the show yesterday, I think the Cavs are just taking an unconventional approach to how they're sort of playing out the end of the season, where a lot of the teams ramp up after the All-Star break, but the Cavs are ramped up in the very beginning. This is their lackadaisical time, and they're just banking on you leave your car out there all winter, you decide you're not going to start it, you leave it in your unheated garage, and then you're like, you know what? Now that it's spring, I'm going to get into the garage. I'm going to put the key in the ignition. I'm going to expect this thing to turn over. Very dangerous move on your part. Who knows? Could it work out? Could it not? And some of those people that would do it, your car would start. It really would. And some people, that thing wouldn't turn over. And you'd be like, well, and here we go. Now we got to find a way to jump it from the garage. Not my smartest play. And the Cavs are just hoping that they're the type of car, the type of team, where that thing's just going to turn over and it's going to start. And they might be right. It might be perfect. They might have found out that their garage was heated. And they're like, oh, this worked out really well. You might also find out that you're driving like a 1995 Lemon and this thing ain't going to work. You got to wait and see. But I have no reason to believe this team should be in full-blown panic mode based on what they've been doing and the season they've led us to. If you take a little warm-up, if it takes five games to take down your first-round opponent, but you don't look the prettiest doing it, but you got back into rhythm by game five, sure, I can live with it. I'll be perfectly happy. I'm not going to draw any problems from start to finish. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Paul Hoynes of Cleveland.com. Hoynesy on with Baskin and Phelps to talk about the recent trend of torpedo bats in the MLB and how it plays into the Guardians.
I'm sure if this continues with the Yankees, every hitter in Cleveland's lineup is going to have a torpedo bat or is going to have a shipment of them on the way. I talked to Lane Thomas about it, and he was saying, well, let me see how this goes for the next week or two. But if they keep hitting home runs, I'm gonna call my bat manufacturer and start getting an order set.
This is sort of my fear with what the MLB is going to turn into, for more than one reason, by the way. I'm a little nervous that every player is basically going to be sitting there going, well, it's got Jazz Chisholm hitting 25 bombs or on the pace to do so. I need to get a hold of this thing. But the Yankees have very strategically picked out the players they want to have this be done for, right? Like, it's Jazz, it's Anthony Volpe, it's Austin Wells. And the entire thought process is it's guys that hit on the inside part of the bat towards their hands and aren't barreling things up, and that's the natural way they've been making contact. So instead of going the route of, hey, let's actually fix what's going wrong here, let's fix your swing and do a full rehaul, they're like, you know what? We'll just adjust the bat to the point where it's more successful since you're consistently hitting it there anyway. And now players who aren't, as actually the Yankee game on studio, and they're showing the torpedo bat. But like, if you're using a normal bat like Aaron Judge is and Cody Bellinger is, it could still work as long as you're barreling that thing up. As long as you're doing the normal barrel type swing, don't switch it. Like, is Lane Thomas hitting on the inside of his hands? I don't know the answer. But if it is, sure, yeah, it'll work well for you. If you're not, stick to the normal bat. Don't go crazy here. Stick to what works. My fear is that it just completely takes over, and I just hate it for baseball. How about we make the adjustments and hit it with the actual barrel of the bat? That feels like the right way to do it. If torpedo bats get banned, I'll have a smile on my face. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. Coming up here at 8 o'clock, our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, joins us with the latest on the Browns around Travis Hunter, Kirk Cousins, the stadium, and more. And it's coming your way in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.